I'd like to thank Bria Burton for editing this episode.
Marshall Latham, being of sound mind and body, sort of, do hereby leave my last will and testament. Not really. I just don't feel very good this week, but it doesn't matter if I stay home or go to work. I still feel kind of crappy and run down. I don't think it's anything serious. I think it's just cold kind of stuff going on. But hey, we're here for another strewn along the path. You know, it's funny that the way these come out, you know, you might feel that there's been no time passed since the last episode, but, you know, I record these things at infrequent rates that would be different from the rates that they would come out on the podcast. But let's see, last time I left off, I was talking about TV shows, and I left off talking about all the DC stuff on the WB. I keep calling it the WB, on the CW network. So now it's time to give Marvel its turn. So what shows do we have for Marvel? We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV. We have Daredevil Season 2. I don't even know if I talked about Daredevil Season 1 on Netflix. And we also, in the middle there, had Jessica Jones on Netflix. And so I think I'll start out talking about Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I think continues to be a good show. I've enjoyed it from the beginning. A lot of people abandoned it right away. Gave up on it, and I think shouldn't have, regardless of what they thought it was going to be. If they thought it was going to be an Avengers movie on television, that was never going to happen. Of course, I think the character and the person that carries the show, I say that, but then I think that does kind of take things away from the other actors. She's going to be late for work. Oh, no. Sorry, complaining about impatient people. Trying to get past me. Where was I? So anyway, yeah, Agent Phil Coulson, the current director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, actually, Season 3, it sounds like that's going to change. But he has been the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. ever since it folded in Season 1 when Hydra kind of took over S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's been an interesting ride. I don't know if I've talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the show. But again, I've liked the show from the beginning. It did have a slow start, I'll give it that. You know, people weren't patient with it to let it get its feet under the ground. And I liked it. I thought it got better even before we had the Hydra reveal in the Winter Soldier movie that totally changed everything about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, that was an excellent move. It was a big payoff for the show. But, you know, I think it was a good show even before that. But anyway, that's going in the past. We're talking about the future. We're talking about Season 3, right? Yeah, I did talk about this last year, so never mind. So we've already covered Seasons 1 and 2. So Season 2 ended with the Terrigen crystals or Terrigen stuff that creates in humans going into the ocean and becoming part of the water supply and fish oils and that kind of thing. So now, at the beginning of Season 3, they were dealing with this inhuman emergence, I guess, on the world as regular people, you know, had fish oil or whatever was vitamin supplements or whatever that was contaminated with the Terrigen crystals. Those that had it in them to become inhuman or had the inhuman genes in them transformed and got superpowers. A lot of people didn't know how to deal with that. Of course, people are going to use their powers for good things or bad things. And we had the beginning of what I guess is called, is a little bit past my time of following all the comic books. But I guess there was this group of Inhumans called the Secret Warriors. No, not Secret Warriors. Is that what they were called? Secret Warriors? Anyway, superhuman, superpowered group of individuals that worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. And so they kind of got that going with Season 3. You know, we had, what was it, the ATCU? Is that what they called it? It was the government task force to deal with this inhuman epidemic, superhuman people, or as they call it on the show, enhanced individuals. And we also had, of course, S.H.I.E.L.D., the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., trying to protect these inhumans and also trying to recruit them on their side and use their powers for good, I guess you could say. So there was this kind of battle, or the antagonists were this ATCU that seemed to be pretty, we didn't know their methods, or we didn't know what their goals were, what they were doing with these inhumans. And of course, Daisy, is kind of heading up this task force to deal with the inhumans. And in a cool move, they have Mac as her partner. He's probably the most freaked out, down-to-earth guy, freaked out about anything alien, otherworldly on the show. And so to have him be part of this task force with her as a partner was pretty cool. And to see their relationship, non-romantic relationship, how they work together and everything. So we had that going on, and so we had kind of this back and forth with S.H.I.E.L.D. and the ATCU. Later we found out that the ATCU, spoilers, was a government program, but it was kind of secretly being run by Hydra. What was his name? Gideon Malik? I think it was Gideon Malik. He was kind of the last surviving member of Hydra when the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last season pretty much took out a lot of Hydra. And of course you have Grant Ward, the evil Grant Ward, now trying to take over Hydra as well, and didn't know much about this Gideon Malik guy. But the other cool thing going on, probably the coolest thing about the whole season, which I thought they pulled it off really well, if you remember at the very end of season 2, Simmons was basically sucked into this obelisk thing that had been taken off the S.H.I.E.L.D. ship. That Hydra wanted this thing as well. But it sucked her up and she disappeared. And we never knew what was going on, what happened to her. That was kind of what we were wanting to find out. And if I remember right, the first 6 episodes, maybe, of the show, Simmons wasn't there at all. Fitz was searching the world, trying to find answers to the, what was this obelisk? What did it do? How do you open it? How do you, transport, whatever, trying to find out how to rescue Simmons. And, a lot of the other team members have, they still have hope, but they've pretty much given up and said, I think Simmons might just be gone. But of course, Fitz loves her and wants to rescue her and is determined and undaunted in trying to find a way to bring her back. And so we have that going on. And we also learned that this thing has been around for a long, long time. I think in one of the first episodes, they had a clip from the 1600s or something like that, where this group of looked like elite, rich people had an election or whatever, and somebody had to go through the portal or through this obelisk thing to enter into wherever they needed to go. And it was kind of an honor thing, but it was also a scary thing. And it was just all a mystery. We didn't know what was going on with this thing. It was pretty cool. And then I think it was like the 7th, maybe the 8th episode, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did something that they've never done. It was an exclusive all Simmons episode. It was just all her perspective. They didn't have like side stories, cutbacks, going back. It was all focused on her. And somehow she got transported to this alien planet. And they might have shown glimpses of this. I think they did show glimpses of this in previous episodes. But this one was dedicated completely to her. And it said, shows exactly what happened as soon as she was sucked inside and transported to this planet. And, what she did, how she survived. She needed food. She needed protection. She discovered things, that there were dangers on the planet. Eventually, she ended up finding another person that was on the planet. And they had been part of a NASA exploratory team or whatever that went through the obelisk, went through the portal to this planet. This guy was the sole survivor and was kind of, had made bunkers and had learned, almost like a, Robinson Crusoe kind of thing, stranded on this planet. Eventually, she found him, once he realized that she was real and not just a hallucination. They worked together, and he started to tell her things about the island. And the one thing that he told her was, I think he just called it like it, or the force thing on the island that, if there's a storm or there's something going on, you don't want to be around. And there's places of the planet that you shouldn't go because this thing is after you. She doesn't know whether to believe him that it's real or something that he's made up, if she can trust him or not. But they end up, I can't remember how long she's been on this planet, many, many months on this planet because they've been looking for her for that long. Eventually they do bond and have a romantic relationship. They're going to try to send a message home. The whole time she's there, she's has this video and pictures of Fitz, and she's kind of leaving a log for Fitz to say what's happening to her on this island. And so, but, over time, Fitz isn't there, and this other guy is, and she still wants to get a message to Fitz, and knows that he can save them, or that S.H.I.E.L.D. can save them, but mostly Fitz, that she wants to get a message out. And so towards the end of this episode, they're going to go to this place, and they have this plan on how to send a message in a bottle, kind of, through this portal, or through the matter, or whatever that transports people. There's this whole thing on Earth where they find an obelisk, and they figure out how to activate it, this, ancient Hydra thing. Daisy has to use her vibration powers or whatever, seismic powers, to activate the portal. Anyway, so Fitz is able to get on the planet, and he does save Simmons and brings her back to Earth. And of course, we don't know why at the time, because this... Sorry, I'm not doing a very good job of keeping things chronological here. But before this big episode where we learn what happens to Simmons, he does save her and brings her back. But she's very sad and very traumatized and wants to go back to the planet, and nobody knows why. And now we're, then this other episode explains that there's this other guy and she wants to go save him. In the process of saving her, the obelisk was destroyed, and there's really no way to bring it back, to get back to the planet. So she's distraught, and now Fitz is torn. He learns that, she's fallen in love with this other guy, and she wants to return and save him, and he loves her, and he knows that she had feelings for him, and so, of course, he is the good guy. He's the nice guy. Even though it might take Simmons away from him, Fitz is determined to help her get back to the planet to save this other guy. And I'm sorry, I can't remember what his name was. And so they're kind of working to do this, I think, kind of behind the back of everybody else at S.H.I.E.L.D., because everybody else at S.H.I.E.L.D. is glad that this thing has been destroyed, that whatever. So anyway, it was good storytelling. They pulled everything together well. I didn't feel that anything about the season really dragged. I thought everything built upon itself and did a really good job. And I was worried that it was going to be very tired with Ward, taking over Hydra, and it was just going to drag on, and they're going to have these grudge matches all the time, and it was just going to be that kind of a thing. But they totally didn't do that. They avoided that and did things that were unexpected and good quality stuff. So I can talk more about that stuff. So she escaped the planet. Fitz went and saved her, and then she was distraught and upset because she had this guy that she had fallen in love with who was still stuck on the planet with this strange, obscure creature thing. They weren't quite sure if it was real or not. And so Fitz was working with Gemma to try to get back to the planet. Brett Ward storyline as he went through the season, just being the bad guy with Hydra. I was kind of worried that was going to be kind of dry and stale. And, at the beginning of the episodes, it did show that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to climb the ladder, or not really climb the ladder, but create a new Hydra. He soon came in contact with Gideon Malik, and Gideon Malik kind of showed his power and was willing to build Hydra together, bring it back to what it was once was. But in that process, Gideon was kind of teaching him not just, you know, the only Hydra that we knew was from World War II, you know, based on the Nazis and Hydra and trying to take over the world, that kind of thing. But Hydra actually, you know, we learned over the season how Hydra went back even further than that. They kind of worked to preserve this entity or power that was on this planet. And they had the obelisk or several different obelisks to be able to transport to this planet. They were in charge of the NASA mission, which stranded the guy that was with Jim on the planet. Sorry, I can't remember his name. So anyway, all this stuff is coming together. So they want to get to the planet. Fitz and Simmons want to get to the planet to save this person. The rest of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't necessarily on board with that. I can't remember how all that went down. But basically what ends up happening is at one of the Hydra bases, they are planning to go to the planet to find this source of power. They capture Fitz and Simmons, who know about it. And she was there, obviously, so she knows a lot about it. And essentially what happens is Ward leads a group of Hydra people, and they take Fitz, tell him that they will kill Simmons if he doesn't cooperate with them. So she's held at gunpoint or in peril so that he'll help them. And so he goes to the planet with them to help them find it, because he's the only person that's ever gotten to the planet and gotten back off, kind of thing. And then at the last minute, I can't remember what was going on, but essentially all the people from S.H.I.E.L.D. were flying and above this facility, and they were going to come down and take down Hydra, and they found out kind of what was going on with this going to the planet thing. And so Phil Coulson jumps out of the airplane, and I think without a parachute, right? And he ends up going right into the portal. It was on the green, kind of laying on the ground in the portal. And he, at the last minute before the portal closed, went to the planet as well with everybody. But he was kind of behind their group. And I don't know why I'm just going through the whole plot of the season, but it was just really good storytelling. And I guess I want to get to the mid-season portion, and then maybe I'll leave it more up in the air as to what happens with the rest of the season. And if you don't want to listen, if you don't want these spoilers, I guess you would have stopped listening by now, hopefully. But a lot happens in these episodes when they're on the planet. So Fitz is leading the Hydra agents and Ward to try to find this source of power or whatever. But secretly, he's there because he wants to save Gemma's boyfriend on the planet. So he's kind of got his secret agenda. And eventually he does. He finds Gemma's boyfriend, tries to talk him, you know, say, hey, we can escape. I'm with these guys. And anyway, so they're kind of working together to go against Hydra, where, you know, Ward is trying to get to this source of power, this being. And it all comes down, you know, Phil catches up to them. Phil Coulson, Agent Coulson, catches up to them and has a showdown with Ward. If you remember, you know, Phil Coulson's arm was cut off at the end of last season, and so he has this bionic arm, I guess you could say, this, you know, robotic prosthetic arm. Sorry about that, hitting the rumble strips. In that confrontation, they end up killing Ward. He ends up killing Ward, crushing his chest. And it's just, you know, you can tell what a moment it is for Coulson. He's going beyond what he is trained, not only his training, but his own moral guidance. I guess I should say Phil Coulson was friendly and then romantically involved with the head of the ATCU. And she didn't realize that Hydra was behind it. And she ended up being killed by Ward. He did that kind of as a revenge. And so here's Phil Coulson getting his revenge on Ward for not only killing the ATCU woman, but all the bad things that he's done. He's just had enough, and so he ends up killing Ward. Well, what I didn't tell you, and it's great storytelling, the way that this is the best season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The season arc from beginning to end, all was cohesive and put together. They put a nice button on it at the end of the season, and it's going to be exciting to see what they do next. But Fitz is with Gemma's boyfriend, and they're going to make their escape. But at some point, Fitz realizes that this isn't Gemma's boyfriend. That Gemma's boyfriend was killed, and he's being controlled by this being that the Hydra agents were trying to get, this powerful being that's been on this planet for years and ended up killing everybody on the planet. And he kind of uses the people that he kills as a host. And so they have a... I can't remember. So see, this is good. You'll have to watch the episode to figure out how Fitz defeats. He either sets him on fire or shoots him with a flare gun or something and ends up killing Gemma's boyfriend, who is this not... who's actually been taken over by this being. And so he's killing the being, and they're trying to get to the, you know, there's a countdown. Their exit off this planet is pretty much going to go away soon. So Fitz is struggling with this being in a distance. Coulson is fighting Ward. They both end up winning, killing their captors or whatever. And then it doesn't really show much after that, but they do escape. They get out of the portal. They're safe. Hydra's plans have been frustrated. They lost Ward. They lost their agents. They didn't get the being that they wanted. So we think. But at the end of that episode, the mid-season finale, I think we do see this something crawling out of the dead host after Fitz kills it. Anyway, at the very end of the episode, Gideon's driving away and his car is blocked by something in the road and they stop. And it's Ward, who's somehow escaped off the island after being killed. But it's not Ward. His eyes and his countenance or whatever, you can see that he's been taken over by this being. I'm trying to remember the name that they gave it. Hive, I think, is the name of this powerful force. And it's an inhuman, I think. It's definitely linked to the Inhumans because, yeah, so he's this powerful inhuman that can kill people and take over people's bodies and all this. He's a very powerful being. And now he's got Ward's consciousness, so he knows everything Ward knew. He knows everything that Gemma's boyfriend knew. Now he's going to be this threat, and he's going to work with Malak to cause havoc and do whatever they want, right? So that's the mid-season finale. And I won't talk about the end of the season, but when they picked it up and they carried it to the end of the season, the second half, that was compelling and good as well. A lot of good things going on there. One of the things that happened in this season was, I think it was toward the end, right? But two of the cool characters, you have Bobby Morse, who is Mockingbird, Lance Hunter, who's her ex-husband, lover, person there together. They're made out, you know, they have this good chemistry and just good banter back and forth and just, you know, they're really one of the best parts of the show. They were trying to set them up for a spin-off series. I believe it was going to be called Most Wanted. And so in order to set up that spin-off series, they set it up where they had to leave S.H.I.E.L.D. They couldn't be S.H.I.E.L.D. agents anymore. Something to do with the Russian government. You can watch it for the details. Coulson ended up making a deal where they couldn't operate as S.H.I.E.L.D. agents anymore. And so they left. They had a send-off, kind of a secret send-off and a goodbye. And that was a great episode. Strong characters there. The show is, like I said, has become even better every season so far. And I definitely think season 3 was one of the best I've seen. It's just very cohesive and compelling to watch. Love the characters. The character development has been good. Well, I guess the other thing I should say, I forgot. There's this whole other thing with, there's a couple other Inhumans that they kind of recruit to help out. They don't become really part of the team, but they do pitch in to help at several points during the season. And I can talk more about them, and maybe I will, but the one that's another compelling part of this was this character called Lash. Come to find out that he's a normal man, but then he transforms into this Lash character, Hulks out or whatever, lashes out. There you go. Instead of Hulks out, he lashes out. And there's the mystery at the beginning of the season, who is this character? And it ends up, spoilers, if you don't want to know, you better not listen for a minute or so. But one of the shocking discoveries at the beginning of the season, or toward the beginning of the season, is that now I can't remember his name, darn it. This is the psychiatrist that's been helping S.H.I.E.L.D. He's the ex-husband of May. Ends up he is this Lash character, that he is an Inhuman. He transforms into this. And his goal is basically to kill all the other Inhumans. And so he's killing Inhumans, and at the beginning of the season, you know, the ATCU is after him and S.H.I.E.L.D. is after him. You know, he's causing lots of problems. So there's a lot of good drama there with him. I mean, Blair Underwood, I like him as an actor. He did a great job with this character. Comes back toward the end of the season as well. Pays off. Everything pays off with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season. Everything they do pays off. So there was that whole storyline going on, and the, you know, May was having a hard time with that, and of course other people. So there's a lot of drama going on there. If I have any complaints about the season, they kind of took care of that at the end, at the very last episode. They kind of took care of that. Lincoln was kind of a weak character. He was there on and off. Well, mostly on, I guess. He was there for the most part of the season. But there was just nothing really cool about him. I mean, he has electricity powers, and him and Daisy kind of have a romantic relationship. But it's, I don't know, it just wasn't very interesting, and his character wasn't really developed well enough, I don't think. You know, we know where he came from. He was part of season two. But anyway, that was, I'm trying to think of any other complaints. But there, I really don't have any. It was a really good season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a strong show. Anybody that's not watching it because they didn't like the first 10 episodes in season one, whatever, you know. If you don't want to watch it, that's cool. But I think you're missing out. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with this next season. I guess there's going to be a new director of S.H.I.E.L.D. that Agent Coulson isn't going to be Director Coulson anymore. So that'll be interesting. I think, if I remember right, Daisy's on the run. You know, she left S.H.I.E.L.D. or something at the end of last season. So I think she's on the run. There's rumor, well, I guess it's been confirmed that somehow Ghost Rider is going to be part of season four. It'll be interesting to see how they pull that off. But I'm encouraged. I trust them to continue to do well. If they do as well as they did in season three, it's going to be a great show to watch. If I have to drop off shows, I definitely won't be dropping off Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's still a strong contender. All right, I'm home now. I think I'm done, though, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., unless I think of anything in the interim. So I'm going to sign off here, and I'll come back and talk probably about Daredevil on Netflix. But until then, I guess that we'll see what else is strewn along the path. Bye-bye.
Strewn Along the Path is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. This means you can share it, but not sell it or change it.